We are definitely not in Africa. Today, I want to not be a preacher, which is really hard for me. I direct the Bible school in Libreville, Gabon. I'm a PhD candidate, and preaching is what I do. But apparently, you have a preacher here. So I'm not going to preach, I'm going to tell stories. In January, God said to me, tell them what you know that they need to know. And I thought, but Lord, I'm a preacher, you know, but arguing with God does not work. So I just said, okay, Lord. And it's been the greatest thing I've ever done as a preacher. So I call it Confessions of a Veteran Missionary. And we are veterans because you guys have supported us for about 400 years now that we've been on the field. Kathy, thank you. I looked on the website and I recognized one person. Kathy, thank you, thank you, thank you. In a world of change, at least there's one constant. Thank you for loving us. Pastor Michelle, thank you for having us. And Chuck, it's so nice to meet you guys and your daughter. She has confided to me earlier that she's coming to Gabon as a missionary. So say goodbye to her. Say goodbye to her. She's coming with me. We have a discipleship group of about 20 kids her age. But you know, kids is in Africa, until you're married, you're a kid. Even if you're 50, you're still in the youth group. So we have this discipleship group of a bunch of kids your age, and you would fit in so very, very well. We just got to work on the French part, okay? So we'll work on that. So this morning, well, let me greet you from my wife. She says hi. She was a little bit upset, you know, because she being also an ordained minister, it's like, shouldn't I be going to Cleveland Rockside, you know? Where, you know, Michelle is the pastor and all that kind of stuff, you know. And I said, no, I'm going back to, I haven't seen Michelle. I don't know her really yet, and I need to meet her. So here I am. That's the whole reason I came. That and the free coffee in the back. Thank you. Before I forget it, because I always do forget it, in the back, there are prayer cards. There are none hanging over there on the important missionary wall, but we're going to fix that. So we got them back here behind the door with in front of which Carol Barrel is standing. Yes, prayer cards. On the front, a doctored photo making us look younger. And an arrow showing you where Gabon is. Because we most of us went to public school and we have no idea where Gabon is. It is right on the equator and it is right at sea level. Think the Bahamas as far as heat and humidity goes. But we are a rainforest. I mean, we don't worry about deforestation. We talk about the forest encroaching on us. So we have to beat it back. Secondly, do not sing that song, Lord, bless the rains in Africa. We do not need that. Okay, that is for Kenya, you know, Somalia, stuff like that. We do not need that. We are a rainforest. When you fly in, it looks like a bazillion heads of broccoli. That's all you see with these dark rivers, you know, going through it. So if you want to lose weight, come to Gabon. Parasites will take care of that weight problem. And if you need a suntan, you will get it in Gabon. I've been here for 11 months. You know, I'm as white as a sheet, for heaven's sake. So I need to get back to Africa where I could get some sun. This morning, Confessions of a Veteran Missionary. Because I was told in 30 minutes, this platform will open up and swallow me. So I'm on the clock. I confess I had no idea what language they spoke in the Congo when God first called us. Missionaries came to my church when I was a kid. We used to have you're not even old enough to remember this, Michelle. You know, we used to put our communion tables out front. Remember that? Yeah, you probably remember that. And then the missionaries would roll out their snake skins, you know, on the communion table and put all the pictures there. And I would always come up, you know, because God called me to be a missionary when I was 7. And so I would come up and say, Mr. Missionary, I also am going to be a missionary. God has called me to Congo. And they would, you know, look at me like, are you lost? You know, do you not have parents? Can, you know, somebody come and get this kid, you know. I didn't have the brains to say, I'm going to Congo as a missionary. What language do they speak? You know, because you have to have brains for that. So none of those missionaries ever said, oh, you're going to Congo. You know, you might want to learn to speak French. That would be helpful. So when we get to heaven, there will be two groups of people. Number one, Eve. All the women are going to beat her because of what she brought upon you ladies. And when you see a bruised man, you'll know it's that missionary that never told me, you know, they speak French in Congo. You might want to learn that. So when I got to language school in Quebec, it was a disaster. I couldn't speak one word of French. I could say no, but in French it even sounds different. It's not no, it's no. And where the bathroom is, you know, we don't call it a bathroom. You know, it's a toilet. So in French, it's all completely different, you know. So you, if you don't know the words, how do you ask? You know, my director had said, language is life. If you can't speak the language, you can't be a missionary. No pressure, you know. But that first missionary never told me to learn a language. So how did I know? When I grew up, you know, we beat up kids that took language classes. You know, it's like, you know, you're weird. So I get to Quebec, you know, I'm what, 28 to 29 years of age, and I don't know a thing. And the first test is conjugate to be and to have. Those are the two most common words or verbs in any language, to be and to have. And I studied, because I could hear my director's voice. If you can't learn the language, you can't be a missionary. You know, you'll be corrected ICI tests somewhere, you know, in an office. It's like, this is not why I'm going to be an African missionary. So I studied, and I filled out my test. Then I turned it over or turned it in. I don't even remember because it was so traumatic. And I got out my little book with conjugations, you know. I don't want to traumatize anybody, but conjugation is a big word that means I am, you are, he is, she is, you know. Yeah, how many of you were traumatized in English class growing up? Yeah. And I got out my book and I looked and I realized I had switched to be and to have. Oh no. Oh no. Oh no. And this eye started leaking, some kind of a deformity in my makeup, and a tear started rolling down my face. And the teacher, who was sitting 5 feet from me, you know, as a good missionary, you know, wanting to learn the language, you're on the front row, of course. And there's the teacher right there. And she looked up and saw my distress. Now, this is the University of Quebec, you know, no Christians except for the two missionary couples that were there. And as soon as she said, Gary, what's wrong? All their heads popped up. You know. And Janice, bless her heart, she's going like this. No, just leave him alone. He'll be fine. You know, that doesn't work, you know. So she gets up. You know, this is really bad. And she comes over and, Gary, what's wrong? And I said, I think I failed my test. You know. No, c'est pas possible. No, that's not even possible, you know. She said, let me go correct your chest. She goes back to her desk, gets out her book, and then I just hear, oh. And then the other eye got that same deformity, and, you know, the tears flowed. But, you know, we run away from brokenness. But brokenness is a place where God can do something in your life. Children learn a language when they're very young, easily. Our kids went to French school growing up. Man, they speak French perfectly with a lovely accent because they're not afraid to make mistakes, but we're so proud. And we run away from brokenness, but brokenness is a place when God can use you. Somebody say amen. Now, that's good preaching. Even though I'm not preaching, I'm just telling stories. I mean, I'm happy to tell you that in October of this year, I was at the World Assemblies of God Fellowship International Congress in Madrid, Spain. And guess who was on the platform interpreting from French to English? This boy right here. God can do anything if you don't run away from brokenness. But I'm not preaching, I'm just sharing. Secondly, I confess, I had no idea what missions really was. I thought I would go and preach and teach, you know, collect a bunch of African curios, you know, sculptures and snake skins, and retire with lots of memories. I never expected to plant or pastor a church. Never crossed my mind. I grew up not too far from Detroit where we had race riots. I mean, come on. Me? I'm a white boy from, you know, from the Midwest. Who in Africa would listen to me? Because that was my worldview. But the truth of the matter is, most Africans feel like Americans are kind, honest, and fair. You need to come to Africa. Hallelujah. When our people go door to door inviting people to church, you know what they say? Please come to our church. We have a white pastor. Yeah, I didn't see that one coming. But God knows all these things. And God knows the context where he's calling to you to. And he will provide you what you need to be successful in that context. And I'm not preaching. In the end of our first year in Africa, the missionaries got together. And this is where I say, when you have a brand new missionary that comes and tells you all the glorious things they're going to do, you know, they've never been there yet, but they know what they're going to do, just nod and go, yeah. Because when you get to the field, it's the missionaries that tell you what you're going to do. And I didn't know that, and I didn't care. I just said, send me, you know, to work with your best missionaries. That was my request. And they said, we want you to plant a church at the University of Kinshasa. And I was like, what? You know, I did the whole, you know, denial thing. I'm not capable. You can't, you know, it's just impossible to do. Da-da-da-da-da. And finally they said to me, gently, shut up and go plant the church. So we were Chi Alpha before there was Chi Alpha. And that was our first church. And you see it on the screen. We started with one of those tents. Then we added a second tent. And then we just gave up on tents. And so the ushers, then this is contextual, so you'll just have to live with it. You can't fire me anyways. I've only got 4 years left. You're not going to fire me. The ushers will literally, you know, the behind in America is, you know, you don't really talk about it. But in Africa, it's like talking about your arm, okay? So the ushers will come by and say, one cheek, you know. So in other words, you know, turn kind of angled on the bench so you have one cheek on because we need more room. Our strategy for church growth is to buy more benches. Welcome to Africa. If you don't know Africa, that is Africa. We talk about things like that without any shame whatsoever. It's your arm, for heaven's sakes. God's blessing was on that church plant. In 4 months, we were at 550 people. Now, I'm telling you, that'll keep you coming back to church. I was not really good at math. I hate math. Can I get a witness? Anybody hate math like me? I'm good at mechanical stuff and all that, but I hate math. I hate it with a perfect spiritual hatred, a godly divine hatred. But I can extrapolate. If in 4 months we're at 550, heavens, in 10 years I'm going to be 1 million people in our church. Well, God changed us. God did miracles in that church. I want you to go back just a couple slides. It might be two slides. Anna. Now, see that guy in the back corner on the left in the blue shirt? Okay, for you guys over here. You know. See the guy in the blue shirt over there? Way back in the corner? Keep on that one, if you would, please. Yeah. There's a cult right behind us here in the church. Okay, this and the next property back behind us. And when it rains in Africa, our part of Africa, it really rains. It's just torrential. I mean, it's just hard to describe unless you've been there. It's like hurricane type rain. That night, the university is 2 miles up the road. and the road comes steadily downward for 2 miles before it gets to our church. It jumped over the road, over the curb, right where that guy in the blue is standing, just behind that, and went behind us and tore out a ravine 50 feet deep and took out that colt that was trying to chase us out. Somebody say amen. So you can pray for the rains for that kind of a thing in Africa. That church changed us, changed Janice and me. Janice was the first Sunday school director. I was the first worship leader. I mean, it was a disaster, but, you know, God overlooked that. But now we see what God has done. Africans now are building humongous structures. So Anna, it's Anna, right? Yes. I don't want to get it wrong because you're coming, you know, to stay with us. Yeah. So go to the next slide, if you would, please. So this is only one wing of the church. The other one is on the other side. You saw it in the video. But the whole middle section, there's no place you can get a proper picture of the church because it's in the form of a cross. That building cost over $1 million. Not one penny of U.S. money is in that building. It's 100% given by the people that have found Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in that church. Somebody say amen. I want to show you a different one. This is a choir. We do choirs. You know, we love to dress alike. I know how it is, ladies. If some other woman wears the same dress as you have, you'll never wear that dress again. That's what my wife says. And if you have that same handbag or something, you know, it's embarrassing. In Africa, we love to identify with each other. But I want to show you this next picture. This is a granddaughter church. This next picture. That's not a daughter church. That is a granddaughter church. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not the church that we planted. It is the daughter of a daughter church. But you know what granddaughter means. They just dedicated this building, debt-free, paid completely by tithes and offerings of the local church. This thing works in any culture because Jesus is the Lord of the harvest. Hallelujah. You don't have to build a roof over everything God is doing. But it's our duty to plant churches. But when people come to Jesus, they will pay their tithes. I preach tithing all the time. I preach it like this. I say, if you're not paying your tithes, you're a bandit that runs off stingy people. There's nothing wrong with that. We want to run off stingy people. And we want people who come to Christ to be generous, loving people because that's where God's blessing falls upon them. Number three, I confess that I thought that demonic possession and witchcraft were superstition, basically. So what we learned in Bible school, you know, growing up was, you just go tell those poor Africans that they don't have to fear the enemy. Because we sing it all the time. The battle is already won. That is not true. Look at the systems of our world. They are corrupt, they are unholy, they are vicious. That is not God's idea of what the world should be like. The Bible tells us that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. That's why we are at warfare with Satan himself. If God is running this world, he's doing a lousy job of it. And what we had yesterday was just part of that whole horrible system. But we are lights in the darkness. If Paul said, put on the whole armor of God, only soldiers need armor. If you're out jogging, for heaven's sakes, you don't need armor. But we are at war with the systems of this world and their father, Satan himself. What I found is that demonic possession is very, very real. Even children can be possessed. I didn't even want to believe that. During youth camp, you know, you got to have a fire to have a good youth camp. What do you guys do, for heaven's sakes? You don't even, because you have it in church buildings now. But, you know, in the olden days, you know, when things were real, you know, we had a bonfire because we were all out in the field, right? Anybody old enough to remember that? Not one of you. You know, thank you. I saw that hand. Don't scratch your head. You know, we'll think you're saying yes. So I dug out a piece of turf at the Bible school, built a fire there, and we had youth camp. During the worship service, the Spirit of God was moving. Do you see these two twin girls? They were 11 in that picture. Sweet, kind, they're so smiling and loving. They just hug on me and want to sit on my lap. Those two girls tried to throw themselves in the fire during the worship service. Yeah. Yeah. The truth of the matter is, demonic possession is a level of spirituality that most of our churches cannot touch. They're comfortable to come to our churches because they see no threat. Well, that was a horrible realization for me. These girls have been coming to the church for nearly a year. But it was only when there was a powerful move of the Spirit that the demons said, no, 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 we got to get out of here. Many parents initiate their children into witchcraft when they're born. Satan doesn't give anything freely. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. The only thing you get from Satan is through negotiation. I will give you this if you will give me that. And that's what witch doctors do. They play both sides of the fence. If you want to curse somebody, you pay him a certain amount of money, and he curses that person, and they fall sick. I mean deathly sick. That person will go back to the witch doctor, the one that's sick now. I'm not pointing at you, Pastor, over there. I'm just over in this general direction over here. The sick person then goes to the witch doctor and says, somebody cursed me. The witch doctor says, yeah, for $100 I can take that off. He's playing both sides of the fence. He's the one doing the cursing, and he's taking off the curse. So many people in Africa feel like the witch doctor actually heals you. He doesn't heal. He just takes off the curse that he himself put on. I want to tell you the story of Kelia. I think it's the next slide. Kelia said to me, Pastor, I want to be an evangelist. I want to win my family to Christ. Her mother tied her to a tree regularly and beat her all day long, tied her to a tree. She's the only Christian in her family. During that same youth camp, Kelia took off running. We chased her down. Superhuman strength, three people holding her down, eyes rolled back. She's speaking in a weird voice. And, you know, everything we do is in French, of course, so it's all, you know, au nom de Jésus-Christ, tu sortiras. And the demon says to me in French, she's mine, I'm not coming out. I never wanted to talk with demons. But it is a reality if you're going to break down strongholds. It went on for more than 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes. And I'm praying in French. And I thought, what am I doing? How many of you speak a second language? Raise your hand. For how many of you, English is your second language? Anybody here? Okay. Anybody over here? I'm in the wrong side of the room. Okay, thank you. When you're mad, what language do you speak in? You always go back to the mother tongue. So I said, why am I speaking in French, for heaven's sakes? I'm not pleading with a demon, you know. I'm actually saying, God, you know, chase him. And so I switched to English, and the demon switched to English. In a French-speaking country, I didn't know they were bilingual, but I baptized that girl the last day of the year. And she's serving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Number five, I confess I thought America had a corner on Pentecost, on music, and church growth. How many invitations to a church growth conference do you get every year? You know, dozens. We understand what church growth is in Africa. It comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because if you are demonically possessed or sick, you go to a church to find out if there's any power in that church. If there's no power, they'll go somewhere else. You know, air conditioning, nice music, that is meaningless. When you're hurting, you want a solution. Africans are the most musical people on earth, I think. Every young boy wants to be a drummer.
Do you see, this is Pierre, our drummer. He's 18. He's old, you know, almost ready to retire. All six of those boys are learning to be the church drummer. And they're all hoping Pierre is going to retire soon. Music is in our bones. We fast and we pray and we sing and we worship God. Our kids will put together just musical stuff. You know, we let them sing even if they can't sing. Because in every pew, there's somebody who says, just one time I'd like to be up front singing, even if I can't sing. So the worse you sing, the more we applaud you. And I have a slide I just want to show you. These kids are part of our discipleship group. They don't all go to our church. This was a special concert we were having. And they said, let's get together and sing. And I say this, I show you this picture, because we actually get crazy churches that will ask us, we'd like to bring our worship team and teach the Africans how to worship. Duh. Bring your worship team and let us teach you how to worship. So this is just an ad hoc. Go ahead and play that. You got to turn it way up so they get the real feel of it, you know. That's good. Thank you. So we don't want to invite your worship team, as lovely as they are. We want you to come and learn how to worship, because for us, it's full body ministry. So if you're just standing here singing, Africans will think you're dead. So come and we'll teach you how to worship. Lastly, I confess I thought I would spend my life giving, loving, and coming back to the U.S. with broken health, you know, like a cicada shell. You know those, you know how they just waiting to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Because God speaks in King James English, you know that. I thought it would be a one-way street where I was just giving, 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 and expecting nothing in return. What I found is that the law of sowing and reaping works in any country, in any culture. Janice and I have friends that would literally give their lives for us. The kids in the church changed their name to Dickinson on Facebook. There's Edwige Dickinson, you know, Pierre Dickinson and all that. They put our pictures on their WhatsApp, you know, identities to identify with us. During the worship service, Janice and I are walkers and prayers, you know, so we're in the back, and I've always got two kids hanging onto my fingers. You know, I'm praying, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's two little kids, you know, just hanging onto my, they can't get a hold of the hand, it's too big, but they'll hold my little finger. They love us. We get sworn by kids when we come to church. I think, is it the last slide, Anna? I'm coming down. No, the last slide. Go backwards. Yeah, this was our last service. They're lined up welcoming their pastor. I bet you don't get that, Michelle. You need to have that. You need to have that once in your life. You know, this is our pastor is coming. This is the last service before he goes back to the U.S. But we get swarmed all the time by the kids in the church. Some of them come back four and five times during the service because their tank is not full. And they know that these crazy white people from Ohio love them unconditionally. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. They want to come to our house all the time and go to that picture where I'm making pizza. The next one. These kids said, Pastor, before you go, we got to come spend the night at your house. That is, you know, the ultimate. Come to spend the night at the pastor's house. And because they know I'm going to make pizza for them and they're going to help. They just want to spend time with me. I never saw that coming. I thought it was going to be just falling apart, you know, come back broken. I didn't see that the Bible says that which you sow, you will also reap. And as much love as you give, you're going to get it back several times over. Some of these kids live right nearby us, about a block away. And when I call their mother and say, I'm going to the market, you know, the supermarket, send the kids out. It gets them all dolled up. They're waiting for me. They climb in my truck, and we go to the supermarket for 30 minutes. And that's their idea of Disneyland. But that's what love looks like. Love is spending time with the people that you love. When I came home on furlough, I sent Janice home ahead of time to set up the apartment. And I went to the airport with about 30 people, weeping, singing, praying, about a bazillion photos. And my flight was delayed for 2 hours. It just went on and on. I mean, there's crying has to stop at some point. Even the Bible says that, you know, weeping endures for a night, you know, but joy comes in the morning. So finally they called my flight. I'm going up the stairs to immigration, and a woman comes out, an officer, you know, in all of her uniform and everything. I don't know her. She doesn't know me. She's weeping. Sir, I don't know who you are or what you are to those people, but that's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. That's what love looks like. You need to hear that. It's not all giving. There's a return on investment. There is love given and there is love received. And I want to close with this video. I got to make a surprise visit in February 24th or something like that of this year. They didn't know I was coming. Every morning they get an audio message from me every Sunday morning. And my elder plays it with the microphone like this, you know, 5 to 6 minutes. But that morning, I was 100 feet away and nobody knew it. I was hiding under a banana tree. And I said, I just wanted to greet you and hear your reaction, you know, because the time difference, I do the message on Saturday night because I don't want to get up at 2 a.m. to, you know, give them the message. And so I said, just wanted. Are the mamas there? Yeah, we're here, Pastor. How about the dad? Yeah, we're here. How about the kids? We're here, you know. And at that moment, I walked into the church. I said, and I'm here also. And this is what happened. Go ahead, Anna. Thanks. This is what love looks like. This is what missions is all about. It's not buildings. It's transforming lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to say thank you to those of you who give to missions on a regular basis. May the Lord bless you abundantly. Lives are transformed. The problem is that a lot of these kids, they'll grow up thinking that pastors are white and come from Ohio. That's a problem. But they don't see color like we do. For them, it's that guy loves me. And that's what you were talking about earlier. We need to be Christ's hand extended. Thank you for supporting us. We're going to pray now. We want to plant 10 more churches. We are asking for God's wisdom where to plant those churches. We've already raised over $100,000 to plant churches. We can do it for $10,000. Other churches before you have already done it. Somebody say, whew, I'm off the hook. But I want you to pray for us. That God will show us the pastors. Because I can't pastor 10 churches. Would God raise up pastors who would plant these churches with us? We're providing a tabernacle for them, and we want, by God's grace, to plant these 10 churches. Would you pray with us that God would give us great wisdom in selecting those pastors who will then plant those churches? Raise your voices, if you would. Pretend you're in Africa. Let me just hear you for a moment. Father, in the great name of Jesus, we ask for wisdom. We ask for your anointing. We ask for direction of the Holy Spirit, that you would lead us to these pastors who will plant these churches and lead these churches. I pray, God, for exceptional value to find pieces of property that are not encumbered by debts we do not know about, where people will come and bow their knee to the risen Savior, Jesus Christ.
I pray, God, that you would raise up men and women in these churches to serve you and to themselves become pastors, evangelists, missionaries, prophets, apostles. Father God, would you guide our hands, guide our thinking. Show us the will of the Father. Let us hear the voice of the Spirit, that your will would be accomplished. We pray it in Jesus' name, Father, and for your glory. Hallelujah. Amen.